My friends, the first 5 and 6 centuries of our holy faith are filled with the testimonies, examples, homilies, and even martyrdoms, which are offered in proper reverence and veneration of the Mother of God. In our program, in our series, we're just going to go through a few of these highlights so you understand how rich, from the beginning, was love of Our Lady. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. In our first program talking about great Marian figures in the early church, we talked about the idea that everything on Our Lady comes from our Lord Jesus. It's contained and concretized in the tradition, in the living, breathing church, and then it develops and we get expressions of this. So we talked about the expressions of St. Justin Martyr and also St. Irenaeus in terms of the first patristic concept of Our Lady as the new Eve. That continues with people like St. Jerome, who in a very pithy way says, death through Eve, life through Mary. That says a ton in just a few words, that Eve's yes to Satan brought death, sin and death to the human family. Mary's yes to Christ the new Adam, really even before Christ the new Adam, to the Archangel Gabriel to bring us Christ the new Adam. And that's how absolutely central Our Lady is in the work of redemption. That brings life. That brings the possibility of eternal life. And as the church fathers and doctors understand this more and more, they will understand that Mary's yes at the Annunciation also included her yes at Calvary, and that Mary's heart was united, grafted to the heart of Jesus, united in a single mission of redemptive and co-redemptive suffering for the salvation and the redemption of the entire world. Well, as we're going through the early church, we go to St. Ephrem, the great Syrian deacon and doctor of the church. Ephrem was called the harp of the Holy Spirit. He also made beautiful references to Our Lady's prerogatives as the Mother of God, her virginity, and really alluding to her Immaculate Conception in the 4th century. It was Ephrem who said, and Ephrem dies in the latter part of the 4th century, so this is the mid-300s, it was Ephrem who said that Mary is like Eve before the fall of Eve, that Mary was identical to Eve before her fall. Well, everyone knows that before the fall of Eve, Eve was sinless. Every Christian must maintain that. So see the testimony of the early church. I mean, we don't want to take a perspective of the church that comes only through the 16th or 17th century as if that's a lens of understanding the church better than that which comes from the beginning, closest to Jesus, protected by the apostles in the Holy Spirit. So St. Ephrem speaks about Our Lady in this comparative, again, to the first Eve of being sinless, also talks about her beautiful prerogatives, higher than the seraphim and the cherubim in his poetry. We move on to St. Cyril of Alexandria, a masterful and a pivotal figure in the church. It is St. Cyril that defends Our Lady's title of the Theotokos at the Council of Ephesus. Now, of course, we're passing by great lovers and defenders of Our Lady, like St. Athanasius and St. Ambrose and Melito of Sardis, but I want to at least give you a backbone structure of some of the greatest figures who have articulated the truths of Our Lady in the history of our holy faith. So, St. Cyril of Alexandria is he who takes on the errors of Nestorius. As we talked about in our earlier programs, Nestorius had a heretical understanding of Jesus Christ and therefore a heretical understanding of Mary. Essentially, Nestorius thought that there were two separate persons in Jesus Christ, a divine person and a human person. And even though this would be denied by him in practice and in act, when he would say things that the Son of God is different than the Son of David, it was very clear that he was talking about two separate persons. And it was also clear when he made the application, Nestorius now, to the role of Mary, denying her the title of Theotokos. He said, you can only call her Christokos, the Christ-bearer, meaning the mother of the human person, Jesus Christ, but not of God, because the word Theotokos in Greek means God-bearer. So it was, in fact, the great Saint Cyril of Alexandria who corrected Nestorius and properly defended Our Lady at the Council of Ephesus in 431. And of course, the Council of Ephesus is then confirmed by the Holy Father. And we have one of the most profound homilies in all the early church given by Saint Cyril in his homily during the Council of Ephesus. And in this homily, Saint Cyril is sometimes called the Through Whom homily, because Saint Cyril goes through this long and beautiful list of what we receive through Mary. Really the elements of grace, the beauties of nature in the sense of bringing us the Creator, the Redeemer, in being the Mother of Jesus Christ, not Mother of the Father, but Mother of the Son. And also every blessing that man can receive comes through Mary. So it's a beautiful homily on Our Lady's mediation. Now, again, at the risk of encouraging this too much, let's remember when we're talking about what's taking place. This is 5th century. This is early 5th century. Do they have any doubt that Mary is a mediatrix? Of course not. In fact, St. Ephrem had already called her the mediatrix of the world in his expression, cum mediator, mediatrix totius mundi. You, Mary, with Christ the mediator, is the mediatrix of the entire world. So if the 4th and 5th century have this clear, why are we debating it in the 21st century? It is part of our tradition. This is who we are as Christians and in the fullness of Christianity, which means the Catholic Church. Again, this is here and it's protected by the Holy Spirit. From Cyril of Alexandria, let's go east and in this sense, even to the areas of Constantinople, I want to go to three great Eastern fathers. We have St. Andrew of Crete, St. John Damascene, and St. Germain of Constantinople. Now, all of these church fathers are coming from the East, and they are doing their teaching in the 8th century. And each of them deserve classes in of themselves in terms of their profundity of Marian teaching. But I'm going to summarize them together for the sake of brevity, that these three fathers excel in the defense of Our Lady in terms of her Immaculate Conception. It's St. Andrew of Crete who talks about Mary being conceived by a sanctifying action. Well, it doesn't get any earlier than that. If Mary's conceived by a sanctifying action, you're talking about an Immaculate Conception, even if that term's not used in the 8th century. The truth is there. And also, St. John Damascene was such a beautiful defender of Our Lady, her role as the Theotokos. As well, he is an author of a consecration prayer. That's correct. In the 8th century, we have a prayer of total consecration to the Blessed Mother. St. John Damascene talks about Our Lady and says, "We give to you, Our Lady, our mind, our heart, our soul, all that we are." Now, can you imagine a more complete prayer in the 8th century? And again, let's bring it to today. Sometimes we have questions, well, does it take away from Jesus if we're giving ourselves to Mary? Are Marian consecration prayers really appropriate? Are we putting Mary ahead of Jesus? The answer to all those things, well, not all of them, the answer to the appropriateness is yes. The answer to we put Mary ahead of Jesus is no. And look at the history of our faith. This was going on in the 8th century. There was a pope in the 8th century, Pope John the Seventh, who called himself a slave of the Mother of God. And that's an expression, it's a title which speaks about consecration. So no, my friends, this fullness of faith and fullness of love of Our Lady is present in the early church. It's there, it's vibrant, it's living, and it's our task to not only live up to the richness that they had in the 8th century, but to take all the riches we've had since that time. Great saints like St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Louis Maria de Montfort, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, we're going to talk about. And if I dare say, people like John Paul II who have said, "I want you to consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother." You should have that protection. Not only the whole world whom he consecrated to our Mother, but each individual. So this is part of our faith from the beginning. We want to rejoice and treasure it now. Never minimalize. Always go for the fullness of what it means to be a son and daughter of Our Lady. This is Mark Miravalli at Miracast saying thank you and God bless you.